Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, the big news coming here today. Ian Rappaport of NFL Network tries to give some positive news for the Texans quarterback situation.
Yeah, spinning the quarterback carousel is something we're going to be doing basically every day from now until probably the draft, at least. And, you know, Andrew, trying to figure out who the next quarterback is going to be traded. Really, the better question is a quarterback going to be traded anytime soon? It looked like this was spinning and spinning and going fast. And now it seems, from talking to the teams involved, the teams who still need a quarterback and some of the teams who may end up trading a quarterback, everyone seems pretty stuck right now. And here are the reasons why. When teams have called the Houston Texans on Deshaun Watson about trading, and not just trading for Watson, trading for anyone, what they've been told essentially is no on Watson, but could talk about potentially a lot of other players, but no on Watson.
If you're a Texans fan and you hear that, Clint, and you hear, no, nothing on Watson yet. It seems like there's going to be a standstill at the quarterback situation. Is that a positive thing for Texans fans who don't want to see Deshaun Watson trade?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't look. I'd be really hesitant to look into it, you know, any deeper than just another day that's gone by, and the Texans are putting the same message out there. I would look at that Ian Rappaport report as clearly whoever the sources are with the Texans and say the Miami Dolphins or the Texans and the Panthers, the Texans and the Jets. They've mission accomplished. You got Ian Rappaport to relay your message to the world and to the other, more importantly, to the other 32 football teams in the league. And right now, everybody believes that you're not taking phone calls on Deshaun Watson. I would look at it more like that. Look, this is a time when the franchise tag window just opened. Teams are having to deal with that right there. I mean, you look at the Houston Texans. They fired, I believe, three guys out of their scouting department yesterday or the day before. I mean, so you're talking about there's a lot going on in these different organizations, whether it's organizations that have hired new head coaches, that have hired new regimes top to bottom, or it's organizations that have some kind of possible franchise tag player that they've got to really figure out what the hell they want to do with. There's just a lot going on right now in the NFL, and not to mention they're leading up to the draft and they're having to evaluate players. I would be very hesitant to put too much stock into one quiet day on the NFL front right now. I think each one of these guys have good reason to be quiet at this point, and it's not going to surprise me if we don't hear something of any substance every day between now and April 29th when the draft hits.
I tell you what part was interesting to me, and that was he said that they're not taking calls on Deshaun, but they are taking calls on everybody else but Deshaun. And I was curious. I'm thinking to myself, well, what names would that even be? Like, what guys would teams be interested in trading for? Bradley Roby comes to mind. I think Tyler said earlier, Justin Reed. That was interesting to me. Like, oh, well, other people are on the table. And I'm just like, who would that be?
Yeah, I think it's any of the guys that could potentially be cut, obviously. Because if they get cut, then obviously that they're a free agent, so it becomes a feeding frenzy if they're worth a flip, right? So any of the guys that could be cut, and that's, I mean, I would think that's Benardrick McKinney, David Johnson, Duke Johnson. Will Fuller's a good one because they can franchise tag him and then flip him in a trade. You know, I think there's a – I think Bradley Roby, I would never trade – I wouldn't trade Bradley Roby right now. I think having him at $10 million right now per is a pretty good deal, and you're already hurting bad enough in that secondary. I mean, obviously you're in a rebuild, but you don't want to just completely
Say the hell with it.
I mean, if you can get something for him, then yeah, I think everybody's on the block. I think there's real possibilities that guys like Nick Martin is a guy. I don't see them cutting Nick Martin and saving money. I think Nick Martin is a higher caliber player than I think he's a lot better than people give him credit for. But he's a guy that I could see an organization maybe wanting to move on from with that contract. And if they can trade him, for whatever reason they don't like him, they could trade him. I could see him being one. Hell, I could see any of the receivers at this point in time being a possibility. So yeah, I think there's 20 players on this roster right now that I would think that the Texans would entertain trading for draft capital if they received the call.
Yeah, it's just like I wonder how many guys are people calling for, and like you look at the top guys on the team, you think were some of those we named, or at least those two tackles that we didn't mention, with Titus Howard on a rookie deal, and then obviously Tunzel. Yeah. But I was just like, that's interesting. Everybody is almost they would listen to. As reported, except for Deshaun Watson.
Titus may be the most untouchable outside of Watson.
You think so?
I mean, think about what he brings to the table. I mean, he's a first-round draft pick with prototypical size, strength, speed. He's athletic. He can play literally. I don't know if he can center. I don't know if he can snap the football. I don't know if he could. I don't know that I'd trust him to play center. But he literally can play all four other positions, and he's on a rookie contract. To me, he is the ideal guy that you want to keep. I want my guys that I hire to coach him. And if this rebuild goes right and in 3 years you're ready to take that next step, you pay him, you keep him, move him to left tackle. Now you got your bookie in left tackle. Right? Worst case scenario, you get him he doesn't become the superstar you expect him to be, and he is a really solid four-spot player on the offensive line. Possibility. So, worst case scenario, he's a very valuable mid-level contract offensive lineman. Best case, he's your bookend left tackle. And hell, he's still got 3 years, 3 years of 2 years of his original contract with his, and you add his fifth year option on that. So you still got control of him for 3 years.
It's interesting to see, but tried to make you feel a little bit better about Deshaun, and maybe it didn't work.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, with the Astros as they are into camp, obviously Zach Greinke is not there yet, but Alex Bregman has apparently a slight tweak in his hamstring and isn't working out with the Major League team in early spring. Abraham Toro is the one getting most of the grounders at third base. But a person that I think is primed to have a big year, Alex Bregman, who had hamstring issues last year as well, had a DL stint because of the hamstring. This isn't great early. Just make sure you're smart with this because, like I said, I think he's primed to have a big-time season.
Yeah, I don't know why Litmus Diaz isn't taking the grounders at third instead of Abraham Toro in Bregman's place. But this is
really likes it.
This is one of those things where, look, you can't let a slight tweak turn into a nagging injury. I mean, ultimately, it's too early in spring training, and Bregman's is the caliber player that if he even shapes his mouth to say my hamstring hurts, then you shelve him as long as necessary. He can get in the cage. He can get with his hitting coach. He can lift upper body. There's probably a lot of lower body stuff that he can do that doesn't aggravate that hamstring. But what you do if you're the Astros organization is you do everything in your power to make sure that opening day, Alex Bregman is 100% go, and there's no hesitation in getting to first base or charging a slow roller or anything like that. You got to get him to 100% and start the season on the right note.
Yeah, Alex Bregman, yeah, slight tweak with the hamstrings, you said, man. This guy, like I said, I think he's prime for a big year. We heard from him yesterday. He is really, really working hard. That might be a part of what got him here. But slight hamstring tweak, and I'm sure the Astros will be smart with this.
Big 3-3, number 3.
All right, this is actually interesting here. Team President Art Rooney II of the Steelers said that Ben Roethlisberger and him met yesterday morning. They had a productive meeting, Rooney said, and we were able to discuss a lot of things to relate to where we are and where we want to go. Ben assured me that he is committed to coming back to help us win, and I told Ben that we would like to have him back to help us win a championship. So it looks like that Ben Roethlisberger is going to return back to Pittsburgh to be the quarterback. That, to me, makes me wonder about J.J. Watt, if a dream destination where so many people think he's going to go play with his brothers. With Ben as the quarterback, it's hard to see them as a true Super Bowl contender, and I wonder if that's a place where J.J. Watt may be out of.
Yeah, you know, I think J.J. Watt's out on that anyway. I think it's a third or fourth ranked place for him to play ball next year, because I do think his brother, playing with his brothers, would be a really, really cool thing for him to experience in his contract. But I think J.J. Watt would rather contend for a Super Bowl and compete with his brother for his T.J., his one brother that he would compete with for sacks or tackles for loss or anything of that nature. So I'm not out on Roethlisberger as much as everybody else. I don't think he's a Super Bowl contending quarterback, and I don't think that team is going to contend for a Super Bowl while he's the quarterback. But their problem has more to do with the fact that they can't run the football at all. So whoever the quarterback is going to struggle in that offense. But yeah, I don't think that J.J. Watt looks at Pittsburgh and says, that's where I need to play ball moving forward. Yeah, if he's going to be able to handpick his destination, I don't think Pittsburgh's going to be it.
I think, and speaking of, like you said, you're not as out on Ben. I think it's a mistake for them to at least have who they believe could be their future. They need to be looking at that now. Now maybe they haven't. Maybe they think that Dwayne Haskins, who they got from Washington, is the future. I don't know that I'd be comfortable with that, and Pittsburgh seems like a better organization to think that is it. But Ben, if he plays this year, that's probably it. I don't see him sustaining more than this year.
He's definitely on the backside, and I'm surprised that he's going to try to play another year, to be completely honest with you. I view the value of a quarterback that's seen every blitz, every coverage under the sun, and knows it like the back of his hand, should know that offense like the back of his hand. I just know there's a lot of value in that. And if Phillip Rivers shot put and ass, if he can take a team to the playoffs and should have beat Buffalo ultimately, should have beat Buffalo last year in the playoffs, if he's capable of doing that with things other than just physical, being able to physically dominate every throw, then I think guys like Ben Roethlisberger could do the same. Not saying he's going to win a Super Bowl, but I think Ben Roethlisberger, you're still a legit playoff contender, and you could potentially make you a nice little run with Ben. So I'm not completely out on him, but I agree with you 100%. For them to not make their plan and start having a plan for post-Ben Roethlisberger at the quarterback position could end up being a big mistake for them.
Dusty Baker, the manager of the Astros, shed some real light on what may be one of the biggest concerns going into this year for the Astros. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
I think a lot of people have some concerns about the highest paid position player for the Houston Astros, and that is Jose Altuve. After the season that he had last year at the plate and in the field, here is Dusty Baker maybe giving some explanation to what we saw last year with Jose Altuve.
Last year was hard on him. You know, it was hard on him. It was hard on all of us. And then in the middle of that, you know, he had some deaths in his family, which he didn't say anything about. And, you know, I mean, there are things in life sometimes that people think don't affect us. And indeed they, you know, they do. I mean, like I said, I didn't know him. I respected him from the other side of the field. But, you know, I see him singing, and, yeah, he has that bounce in his step, and, you know, he appears happy. And, you know, he's going to have a big year for us.
That is Dusty Baker, and it is clear that we are starting to see that there were more things than just the sign-stealing scandal that maybe got to Jose Altuve. I think when you hear that and we start to hear how people are saying he's coming in looking happy and smiling, looking like his old self, I think you should maybe temper the concern level for Jose Altuve. I think Jose Altuve just last year was such a anomaly that I would feel more confident if I'm an Astros fan that he would be back to the Jose Altuve that you've grown accustomed to seeing.
Yeah, I'd be hesitant with any player to take 2020, that season, abbreviated season, too much into account of what these guys are capable of doing or what's going on in their career. You know, are they on the backside? Are they backsliding? Are they ascending or descending? You know, I would hesitate to look at what happened last year, generally speaking, with any player and really come to a conclusion of what's going on in their career. I tell you one thing that's obviously pretty serious is Altuve was dealing with some things.
Yes.
Because Brantley, I saw Brantley speak and heard Brantley speak about some of the similar things that Dusty Baker spoke of. And, you know, these aren't just conversations that you have open to the public, to the media, if it's not something that's a pretty well-known problem with Altuve. You know what I mean? Like, even if those are usually the things they're talking about, the struggles from last year personally, those are typically things that professional athletes keep pretty tight to the vest, right? They're usually things that they keep in the clubhouse. For Dusty Baker and Michael Brantley to talk openly about Altuve's struggles last year, it must be something that Altuve's really come to grips with and is okay with these guys speaking out. Because there's no doubt about it that Jose Altuve struggled last year. I know we all remember, just generally speaking, him struggling, Bregman struggling, Alvarez struggling. I think there was one point last year when they were talking about George Springer needing to be moved from the leadoff spot because he was in a slump. So I think everybody slumped. But when you look at Altuve's numbers, in 2019, he hit .298. In 2020, he hit .219. He was striking out at a much higher rate. It was a shortened season, so you don't know what the final numbers would look like. But he was striking out.
He looked like he was pressing.
Yeah, he definitely was pressing.
And then he couldn't throw.
Yeah, he was striking out at a higher rate, and he was hitting homers at a much lower rate than what he typically did. And so there's definitely some proof in the numbers that there should be concern for Altuve. And then you just mentioned it, the yips in the field. I mean, good gosh, from second base. I mean, that was wild to watch him go through that. Not refreshing is not the right word because I don't want to put that in but it's somewhat, I guess, justifies the issues that he had last year that he was having when all of a sudden this year you start hearing, hey, this dude, it wasn't just about COVID-19.
Yeah,
it was about deaths in the family and some real things off the field that were problems.
I mean, Clint, I'm less likely to think that this is his skills are diminishing type of
thing. No question.
Or that, like, he's just not as good as he has been before, which I think could have been a concern for someone, right? Like, some people could look and say, maybe he just hit his physical wall where he just, you know, maybe those strikeouts are because his bat speed has slowed down or other things.
We've seen a lot. We've seen the greatest athletes on this planet when some way, shape, or form, their confidence is taken from them, they fall apart. Tiger Woods is in the news for this accident.
Yeah.
But Tiger Woods is one of them. Look at Mike Tyson. Right, look at Altuve with the whole cheating scandal and not that he was or wasn't, it's irrelevant to me at this point, but being accused of those things and being the center of such a such a controversial issue in Major League Baseball, people take that differently. And if people are fragile at all, then it could impact you differently. So it's not a stretch to go, hey, I mean, I'm concerned with what I saw last year from Altuve in that shortened season. I am concerned about how the investigation being so transparent and the accusations being so, so dialed in on him a lot of the times, I could see where that could steal his confidence, and we've seen what that could do to some of the greatest athletes ever.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, I just think it's a – let's just throw – and you said it right. Let's just throw 2020 out.
For everybody.
For everybody, but especially for him, because I'll be one. I didn't think – like I said, man, this dude's too good to just be sitting here being so mentally – struggling mentally because of the sign stealing. Like, I couldn't – but now when you hear deaths in the family, now you hear – now that's deaths in the family on top of the pandemic, which was difficult, then being away from
– They didn't even say that the deaths were – they could have been COVID-related, which makes it even more
– yeah.
I mean,
when you combine all of that, which how hard last year was anyway – There are a lot of athletes who handle things differently. Some athletes, when going through things, they use their field of play as an escape place, and some people carry those things on. And you can see, and it doesn't make him weak, you can see that he potentially carried those things on. And now this year, as you talked about Brantley, who said he had a long conversation in the clubhouse with him about things. Other people, Yuli said he's throwing the ball great. Dusty said he just looks like the Jose Altuve with the smile on his face, the guy that they're used to having. So I think the concern level should be tempered if you're thinking, boy, we're going to get that 219 Jose Altuve next year. I don't know if that's the case. Clint Sterner and the show here with you on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. As one of the other stories, Deshaun Watson, the big one, and what the Texans are going to do with that is, also, I think J.J. Watt, where he lands, where he goes, is going to be something that we're really
– Cleveland picking up some steam again.
It really is. Where he's going to go and land. But, hell, maybe he ain't going to play football.
Chief, you talking about that hockey video?
Yes. That really got to you. That really got you.
Yeah.
That hockey video, if you haven't seen that, J.J. Watt playing
– I thought it was a joke. Like, I thought the whole hockey, I played hockey growing up. Yeah, well, I played basketball too, JJ. You know, I mean,
well, you thought it was like how you and your brother played in the basketball.
Yeah, I thought it was just, hey, man, look, it was a pastime. We just enjoyed it in our younger years. Hey, man, that damn video that's out there on social media.
Yeah, a little pace of that slap shot.
Come on, man. And an athlete that big, capable of moving like that, if he's grew up there and played that game his whole life, it ain't like skating's an issue. It ain't like me and you getting out there looking like Bambi on ice, looking like a baby giraffe out there.
I can't skate.
That's kind of what I was getting at. I don't think either one of them.
I can't ice skate at all. No.
I think you need to take a little show. I think you need to take the fam to the gallery and ice skate. I think you should do it. I think you should call me or Tyler and let's go over and video you from behind the Christmas tree.
And I'm bad too, because I used to take a group of kids to go ice skating before. I laughed so hard at them kids. But I wasn't out there.
I bet show.
I was sitting on the side, I was laughing.
You laughed at the kids?
Oh, they was
you put knee braces on
funny.
Show? You put knee pads on when you ice skate?
I've never ice skated.
Helmet,
but I would
elbows.
Wrap myself up. Oh yeah, I'm not getting hurt on that ice. Man, I see how hard them kids fall, and I would laugh so hard at them. Get out
Hold
here.
On, so.
Get out here, Mr. Ron. Hell no. I get out there. But y'all get out there. Hit them, bust them knees up, them elbows, man. Shoot, man. I was falling when I was roller skating back in the day. Hell with that ice skating.
I never was a big ice skater. I tried the
I've never done it once.
I tried the old take the date at some point in high school. I don't really remember who it was. It was It was a group of high schoolers. I'd only been to the gallery a couple times growing up. We didn't venture this way. From over the Baytown way. We the Galleria. San Jacinto Mall was right up our alley.
Yeah.
Man. We had a Casa Olay, and we could walk them halls with no problems. But
Power
Galleria plan. Was a little different deal. I had no business in the Galleria. But I ended up over there one time on a little ice skating venture. It was a one-time deal.
Yeah, I know my limitations, but I'm telling you, if we all went out there and you two got out there, because I'm not getting out there. Y'all two got out there.
I hate it. I ain't
scary
doing
ass
that.
Show.
I'm laughing
you
at
ain't
y'all
either?
Asses.
I mean, I've done it, and like you said, a day, but I hated it. I don't ever want to do that again. I was a killer rollerblader, though, man. shredded.
You see how he lit up?
Killer.
I shredded on the rollerblades.
Killer rollerblade.
I was a killer rollerblader.
Straight Brink action, guys.
I shredded. The latest.
Baytown have a skate park? Sweet.
Did they? Oh, man. Okay, you do flips?
Well, I didn't go to the Baytown one, but I would go to the Vans skate park, and I was like the only kid on rollerblades. Everyone else had skateboards.
That guy. Huh?
They probably laughed at your ass.
They did.
They
you had side by side. You had glow wheels on your side by side. Don't lie. You had light up wheels.
All right, there's the latest article is out on Jack Easterby, and listen, I ain't going to try to tell you how to feel, but I'm getting close to being over these interviews about or these written reports about Jack Easterby. We'll discuss that next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
713-572-4610. I want to hear, are you, when you see, because the latest one came out, David Roth of The Defector wrote another story about Jack Easterby, and they're very similar to things that we've heard before, even citing some other things that we've heard in the SI reports. Are you tired of the Jack Easterby stuff? Like when you see, oh, another one came out about Jack Easterby, are you like, hell yeah, I want to get up into it? Because that's how I was at first. But are you still in that space?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm definitely in a space where when something pops about the Texans, Cal McNair, Jack Easterby happen to be the two biggest stories, I'm all in on reading them. Absolutely. There's no question that I'm interested in it. Because look, I mean, I've been in – I'm not the guy that's going to come in here and tell you, man, I've been in organizations that do it the right way. I've been in dysfunctional organizations in the NFL. I've been in dysfunctional 5-win, 3-straight-year, or rebuild, if you want to call it that, types of organization. It
wasn't your fault.
And you would think that I could look at what's going on with Houston and go, yeah, it's pretty similar to what we were doing in Dallas the years I was there. I can't. The only thing similar to what's going on that in Houston that was going on in Dallas is the Culley-Campo comparison.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. I mean, other than that, like what's going on in the front office for the Houston Texans and what Jack Easterby has been able to do, it blows my mind. This is a story like we've never seen. So, yeah, so when something comes out, an article comes out where an individual that has a platform took the time to research and write an article about the Texans, Jack Easterby, Cal McNair, Jamie Roots, Amy Paulsik, Deshaun Watson, J.J. Watt, obviously, anybody in the locker room. Man, I'm all ears. And that's a stretch for me, Show. Look, it wasn't 6 months ago where you and I are in prep, and I'm going, man, I don't want to talk about the GM. Nobody gives a rip about the GM. Like, I keep hearing, I mean, all these shows, all about the GM. Who cares? I mean, that's where I come from. And now I'm sitting here going, boy, this is the biggest story in football. Whether it's Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby, or Cal McNair, this is fascinating, right? So if it's like I don't want to talk about for an hour straight the Colts GM, the Colts organization. He's doing a great job. The organization's in a good position.
Yeah, Chris Ballard.
I don't want to talk about Tampa's GM. He's done a great job, no doubt. No discredit, no disrespect. I want to talk about what's going on in the field. They got enough action on the field. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about the GM in that front office in Houston. I want to talk about that front office, man. I want to hear about that front office.
I hear what you're saying. Like, I think I'm just over the Jack stuff because none of it's really new to me. Like, yep. Everything I hear is, all right, I believe you now. Like, I think most people do. Like, I hear you. I believe you. Like, from when Andre Johnson came out and spoke, from the initial SI reports, all of those things. I'm just, like, I believe it. I got you. I got an understanding. Like, I'm overhearing about the craziness of what Jack has been able to pull off. Now, unless this comes from Deshaun or like JJ or somebody.
That's gold, baby.
No, that's different. That's a first-hand account.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about guys like, you know, if John McClain went down and said, all right, I'm going to do a story, or Aaron Wilson at the Chronicle, I'm going to do a story on how Jack Easterby has done and the things that he's pulled. I'm over that, man. I'd much rather hear about above him and why the thought is, of the decision to think he should still be there? That's what I'm more intrigued about is, to hell with what he's doing. I get all of that. And what he's done has been to pull it off. I just want to know, I can't understand the business reasoning of a person in charge or people in charge that would say this is best for business.
Well, but show you can't like that you are what you just described yourself as, like, that's the place that they hope that they're banking on people getting to, right? They're banking on, because what do you want? You sit around and you want to hear, Cal, let's get down to what's going on, nuts and bolts of it.
I would like for someone to do a breakdown story of how Cal got here.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, that'd be it. But the thing is, like, they want you to get tired of hearing the same old stories about Easterby and the same old stories about Cal, and they want you to yearn for more from JJ or Deshaun or Cal or Easterby or somebody with some kind of new, and they're not going to give it to you, right? So they want you to get tired of the old stuff. They're not going to give you anything new to chew on. And then eventually it just dies on the vine. It just fades in the background. And I just don't know that this is going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. That's the biggest concern for me, show, with the Houston Texans, is I think this has got a shelf life.
You think so?
I do. I mean, I think we're talking about the last 24 hours. This article didn't tell us anything new. I think it was more of an opportunity for this cat that wrote it to really show off his vocabulary. I don't know where he's educated, but I guarantee it wasn't Arkansas. I guarantee you that. That's some book
or
right
Middle
there.
Tennessee State.
Good God. That's a vocabulary for your ass, boy.
That's Ivy League.
I don't know that he told us a whole lot. But,
no, I felt, but it felt show, like it's the
but people
same stuff
want. I know you and I, we talk about it every day. I mean, there's people obviously want. Hell, Pat McAfee's making T-shirts.
Then it's a great T-shirt. Everyone's breaking their necks to write stories about it. But this is interesting from the text line. And God, you guys keep us going. Thank you. From the text line, show, you guys got to keep harping on Easterby. Even if we're sick and tired of it, you have to do it to embarrass the heck out of, and he didn't say heck, the heck out of the Texans.
Can I get an amen?
I knew he was going to do that. I saw it in his eyes.
Got me paid, they can't fade. The tangent going. Man with the braids. Can you name the artist, Tyler? Can you name the artist?
I just knew he was going to do that. But
I want to know, though.
Do you think that? Because you said it's a shelf life, and when that text came in, embarrassed the Texans. Like, I don't know if they get – I don't know that there's anything – like, they can keep coming out where they get embarrassed, where they feel like, all right, enough's enough. If they haven't reached enough's enough, enough's enough's not possible. And when you say shelf life, I'm like, I don't know.
Well, that text is a perfect example of why it has shelf life, right? It's not they say we're talking about it and it embarrasses the fan base or it embarrasses the Texans. It should, right? I mean, that's the position. But my point is, it don't matter if you and I talk about it or not. This dude's writing about it. Pat McAfee was on his YouTube channel yesterday with a I'm a Jack Easterby guy shirt on, and it wasn't in support for Jack Easterby. He's mocking what's going on in Houston. So you should be embarrassed. They should be embarrassed with the dysfunctional state that they've buried the organization in. They're not embarrassed because we're talking about another article of Jack Easterby was featured in, right? You're embarrassed because of what the Texans are right now. Don't blame me and show.
I don't think they are. I think they're saying you guys got to keep talking about it to really. To just embarrass them and push it and keep talking about it and keep making it a story until finally the Texans flinch. And I'm like, man, I don't think these jokers are going to flinch. I just can't believe they haven't flinched yet.
They're not going to flinch. It's just like, I mean, it's no different than hell. I asked Nolan Richardson one time, the old Arkansas basketball coach, that Texas guy,
my uncle
El Paso
really,
guy.
My uncle really favors him. I'll show you a picture in the break.
I asked Nolan Richardson. He was, what is it, 40 minutes?
40 minutes
of hell, baby. I said, Coach, I got to know him pretty good about 2-3 years ago in Arkansas, so it hadn't been that long. I said, Coach, how the hell did you put blinders on as a black head coach the years you were in Arkansas and come in here with that 40 minutes of hell, and when it didn't work immediately, how did you survive that? He said, hey, baby, I put them blinders on and went to work and had 100% confidence in what I was doing, right? And that's how coaches and organizations are wired. This crew is doing the same damn thing with a much more, just brutal approach, that the only thing that's going to make them flinch is when Cal gets 2 years into this thing and it ain't working. That's it. The only thing that's going to make them flinch is when Deshaun Watson either gets traded and has success elsewhere, or he digs his heels in and he sits out the entire season and money doesn't move the needle for him. Fines don't move the needle for him, right? Those are the things that are going to make this group flinch. Not this article. The shelf life of it is different though, Show, because the greatest football minds ever that spent 40, 50 years in the game can't wrap their mind around it.
But that's what I'm saying. If Deshaun didn't make you flinch, like if Deshaun don't make you flinch,
he's got the ability to make him flinch.
Jamie Roots don't make you flinch.
What the hell is going on?
The money making around, if that don't make you flinch, like, I just don't, it's hard to see it. And I don't know, man. I've reached my point, and we won't stop covering it. We understand what we need to do here. I have reached my,
yeah.
Jack Easterby has done this. Jack Easterby has implemented this. Jack Easterby has mixed these.
If it's something
Kool-Aid.
You ain't heard yet.
Jack Easterby. I mean.
If it's something you ain't heard yet, you're going to be all in on it now.
If Deshaun put something out, I'm with it.
This soap opera is just like that one that what do you watch with your lady? Just the two of
this
us?
This is us?
This is us?
The two of us.
Yeah, this is us. It's just like that. If it's a new episode, show's watching. No question.
But these ain't been new episodes.
This is one that's not a new episode. It's an effort for a guy to show off his vocabulary. Very well done, though. By the way, that was your mission, it was accomplished for sure.
Clint Sterner and the show here with you. And Clint, let's get serious about some things and let's get to this, man. We understand here at Sports Radio 610 how tough things have been the last year, the pandemic, so many different things. Maybe some people not understanding where. Money's going to come from, food's going to come from. The winter storm certainly didn't help last week. We want to do more and do some things to help individuals here. And if you are an owner or a part of a small business, we truly want to try to help you. We know how much you have been impacted. And tell us your story. Tell us your story. Not a business card. Really let us know what your story is. And we want to do the best we can by shouting out and helping you. You can send us an email at smallbusiness@sportsradio610.com. smallbusiness@sportsradio610.com. We'll give you a shout out on the air and allow you to have a chance to be a part of getting a shout out on the air as we're doing here in our Sports Radio 610 Small Business shout out. So if you've been affected with a small business, come on out, send us an email and let us know your story.
Don't come out. You will not get in the building. You will not. They will not let you in the building without a fob. Okay. Don't come out.
No, don't come out. out via email.
Hey, but I do want to reiterate one thing. Show said is man, we ain't looking for no hi hello. I mean, we want to get to know you. Let us know what kind of business you're in. Let us know. The background, the backstory, how'd you get started? How long have you been around? What's the biggest struggles? Let us know what's going on in your life. I mean, look, the fabric of our country, right, is small business and the land of opportunity. And we respect and admire any of all the individuals that take that leap of faith and get into business for themselves and live in that small business world. And we want to help in any way that we possibly can, but we got to get to know you first now. We want to know more than just your name. So make sure you tell us your story. Don't be bashful, baby.
Please don't. Yes, right? Once again, small business, go ahead and hit us up and email us at smallbusiness at sportsradio610.com. That's smallbusiness@sportsradio610.com, and let us know your story. All right, let's get a little fire. I like this guy. Troy always brings it. Go ahead, Troy. What's your thoughts?
Guys, I stayed off the airways for a while. Too hot-headed. My wife gets mad at me, and it's starting to cause problems at home. But she's at work, and it's just me and my son. And so I got a question real quick, guys. Because Nick Caserio, the man that Cal McNair hired to lead this organization out of the abyss into the light, is literally saying he's not taking phone calls for Deshaun Watson. And listen, Lord knows I am following that man wherever he goes. But we all know you got to trade him at this point. That sucks. But he is seriously holding pet. And so this means he literally thought that David freaking Coley was the man to lead the team. Because if he doesn't trade Deshaun Watson, if this isn't a total rebuild, if David Coley isn't a bridge gap coach, then you're telling me that Nick freaking Caserio thought David Coley is the right answer with Lovie Smith? This guy, they've got something up their sleeves. They have to. Because if they don't, then we are in a worse position than I have thought. And y'all know we have gone through so much, and I am just losing it over here. And just, guys, help me feel better, and I'm going to sit back. I'm going to listen. Thank you.
Appreciate the call, Troy. Go ahead and help me feel better.
Nah, Troy, I ain't in the feel better business.
But just being in the honest business.
I'm not in the feel better business. I feel you. And that's how you should feel, man. I mean, I'm be honest with you. That's how you should feel. Because this isn't, you're not in the rebuild phase yet. You're in the tear down, just wallowing in dysfunction phase at this point in time. And look, I'm not saying that the Texans should work hastily to get out of this in the next month before the draft. I mean, no, you do things in a timely fashion, and I'm sure they've got a plan. But at this point in time, what Troy just said, that's exactly how you should feel with what's going on in Houston. No, they've given you no reason to feel any different.
To me, the plan is – the closest plan to read through is Josh McCown down the line. When you say is David Culley the answer down the line? I don't think David Culley is the long-term answer, but Josh McCown seems to be the place that I would go to. Now, if that makes you feel better, well, there you go. Troy, I got a feeling, no, that doesn't.
Nah, that ain't it. That ain't it. I mean, we're living in a world where Robert Saleh's got a great defense, you know, been to a Super Bowl recently. Eric Bieniemy's been a part of the one of the most prolific offenses we've seen in the game. Definitely, it's been in the game for the last 3 years. I mean, we're talking about guys that are on the cutting edge of offensive football and defensive football, that are leaders of men, that are young, up and coming, can relate to players. I mean, that's where that's the world we're living in. Ain't nobody trying to hear no Josh McCown.
Don't my uncle look like Nolan Richardson?
He does got some Nolan Richardson in him. There ain't no doubt.
All right, look out, Houston. There is an NFL team that's positioning itself to get their hands to make a push for Deshaun Watson. We'll tell you who that is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.